Okay, we have another episode here for you on how to plan an awesome virtual event. We're taking you behind the scenes with tips and strategies, letting you know where we fell down and where we had our lessons learned, plus all the things we think we did fabulously. So learn from us, and I hope you really enjoy this. As a reminder, this is part two in our three-part series on how to set up a virtual event. Please make sure you go back and listen to part one for all the juicy tidbits we shared there. And remember to check out part three when we release that. Okay, let's get started and pick up where we left off. Okay, back to you around the chat and social.
The number one thing that I want to say here is I have to give a massively huge shout out to Shema, who joined our team maybe only 2 weeks before this event. But she took so much stress off of me to be able to know that she was handling that and handling it well. She and I, like I said, spent a lot of time beforehand to make sure that we knew what we wanted and what was going to go in there. And she did just such an absolutely freaking outstanding job. And I'm so happy with that and so proud of her, especially for being with us only 2 weeks. If it had been less, I would have been super stressed out, but I'd spent enough time with her to know she could handle it.
Can I just give you kudos? Like, you got really clear about what the need was. We got really clear on that job posting, right? And you know how to hire well, right? And as a company, as you're well aware of, we hire quickly. Okay. I don't overthink. Like, we write good job descriptions. We put it out. We have tests. Like, can they do this? Can they do this? They have to actually do the thing that, and have it work. Right. And you were like, she's the one. You don't have a choice. Okay. And I'm like,
I didn't even give you a choice. I was like, shit, like, we're hiring this person. She's so good. She's perfect. She's exactly what I need. She'll make me feel so much better. This is the person we're hiring.
And as a boss, I listen. Like, I asked a few questions, but I listen and I'm like, okay, good to go. And then she proved herself like day after day. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else on the chat or the social media that you want to share with people in terms of how you, I think I'll go back to roles and responsibilities after that, but I think it's a good place to share some of like how you thought through in advance what we wanted to do with social, and then maybe some of the lessons learned on that. I know I can't remember the feedback that I gave you, but there were things that we thought of afterwards that we could have done that we want to build in for next time.
Absolutely,
they are, but you might.
yeah, absolutely. We one of the things that we thought of after was at the end of the day, after we had Zoom recordings, to go through those and pull out snippets and find the best way to use those, whether it was like a highlights reel where we had several snippets together. And again, you don't want to give away too much because it was a paid event, and the people that paid, like, they should have the full event or the full benefit of having paid to come to the event. But you know, we also want to let other people know, like, hey, next time we have an event, you come. You're missing out. So, you know, we had to have that nice balance. And like you said, the Zoom thing was one of the things we thought of after. And while she and I had a wonderful list of potential things beforehand, we were thinking of them as we went to, like, hey, this would be great. Let's use this. And I'm so glad that she's very adaptable and super flexible and like, yeah, that's great. I'm going to do it this way. Perfect. Again, for social, it's evolving, I think, because you're going to think of things as they come. And I think that's the best advice I can give, is to plan ahead, but to also be super flexible and keep your eye out for things that would work really well in that situation. And for the chat, I think that my best advice would be to know how many people that you have that are coming and adjust your number of people that are answering chats accordingly, because the more people you have, like, the more overwhelming that becomes for the person who's responding to everyone.
Okay. So that's good. So would you say we had 60 people?
Yeah. At any given time we had right around 60 people.
Okay. So we now have a data point, and this is something that we need to put in our metrics and track, right? Because I'm all about like looking at the numbers, hashtag make love to the numbers, right? Like it gives you data, like, and so you're not making it up. You just, you know, so right. We're at one person per one person managing chat per 60 was a stretch, given that you were also thinking through social. So, you know, we might want to lower that metric to one per 50 kind of thing. And then, you know, also figure out how to do the social stuff, right? You know, there's right. a metric there. Yeah.
Right. And like, I would almost, again, something for us to think through, and I'm almost thinking it through right now as we're talking, but I would almost delegate like, okay, this person is the public chat only. Like, they're responding to everything that's being here in the public chat. Like, let anyone know, like, if they're having issues with sound quality, with this or with this or with this, like technical type issues, it's this person. Mm-hmm. Or if they have questions on the offer or payment plans or anything like that, it's this person. Like, I would almost delegate those out in that way beforehand. Perhaps.
Yeah. You know, so behind total peek behind the scenes here. So my brain is thinking, yeah, but things are going to come up.
Oh, absolutely.
At the same time. So if a lot of people have tech issues and we only have one person who's responding, that might not be enough to handle the responses. Or if a lot of people are like, you know, at an event, there's always, you know, there's two types of events. There's you're paying for training and it's a $5,000 event. And that's not necessarily an event where there's an offer on the table to go to the next level. But at the summits, we do a ton of teaching. I think we teach at a $5,000 level, like the amount of information that someone is receiving is at that level. However, it's a different kind of event where it's usually the first time that someone has engaged with me, or sometimes it's people who, there are people who come back to every single event, and I love that because they're committed and they're going to the, like, you're going to hear the material, and I always add new material, but you're going to hear the foundational material from a different level of awareness. And that's how you're going to rapidly go to the next level of awareness. So repetition is the mother skill. You have to hear it multiple times. I know I had to hear it multiple times. And every time I engage in the material myself, I'm like, oh, look at that. That's a new nuance. That's the next level for me to apply this at. So just so you know, I'm in it as, you know, in taking it. That's how I master my skill set. So that being said, this is the type of event where we offer people the next step for working with us, right? If you want to really fast track things and do the next level of the income breakthrough, here's how. And we put an offer on the table. And so if that's happening and people have a bunch of questions at once, then I would say we actually need people trained in multiple areas. Yeah,
absolutely. And I say that because our team is so well, I think you can have those designations, but also still like, oh, you need help? Let me jump in. Because that's how we roll. Yeah.
There's like primary responsibility, secondary responsibility. I love that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's great. So going back to social, to make this really super powerful for people, can you give them like two or three things that we actually did on social that you had pre-planned, that you thought through, that were in support of the event while the event was happening, like maybe one while the event was happening, one that we did in advance, just to give people a little bit of like how we approach marketing?
Absolutely. So one of the things that we knew in advance that we wanted to do was, and we had to enlist Ashley's help for this, we wanted some of the behind the scenes photos, like when you were getting ready, the setups at the apartment to turn your whole house into a studio, like all of those kind of things that happen that nobody else sees otherwise. So Ashley helped us. She took some phenomenal photos. Shayma set those all up. They were fantastic. I'm very happy with those. And we talked about it beforehand, like maybe pulling out some of the comments when people were having these aha moments, like, oh, you mean that I can spend money, you know, like those types of things. While we had that planned in advance, you never know what's going to happen. So like being in the chat, I was also trying to screenshot those as I went. And Shayma was looking for those too. Like, she was in the room, but she wasn't manning chat. but I had her looking like, hey, I saw one like four or five up. Can you just like scroll, go look for it? I saw it was a really good one. And I think that those look really well, look really good too. She did a great job of putting them into a graphic. And it kind of shows that like what people really think when they're there. So I definitely recommend anything that allows you to show what people think when they're actually in the room with you.
I love it. I love it. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, guys. They were like jamming on all cylinders there. So thank you for sharing that. That could probably be like its own podcast, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So we've covered Ashley's role. We've covered Sarah's role. Wendy did, you know, software, Zoom, organizing all the breakout rooms, customer support on all the channels, which is huge, right? Like, because people, you know, DM me, people post in groups, people send emails to support, people are in the Zoom chat. We have a chat bot on our website, right? We have text reminders that people get in preparation for the event, you know, that say, you know, we're starting now. Like, so people might respond to text, right? There are all these channels. And so she has to look and manage all of them, be like aware that people are going to be doing this in a variety of different places. She was also one of the things. Did you have something you wanted to say on that, Sarah?
Yeah, I was going to say, actually, this is another example of our team coming together really well, because while we had assigned that out to her for all of those channels, while she was also working with the breakout rooms and troubleshooting those things and creating order forms, Shema was also helping her just watch those channels, which just, again, another great example of how we're like, we got you. We're all in this together and we're going to do this together. If you need help, let me know. I'm in.
And that's an example of like my team just taking care of it because they're freaking awesome. Okay. Cause I didn't know that. So awesome. Thank you. And let's talk about how she managed the breakout rooms. Cause I think that's a really big tip for people that if they're doing this, I think it went exceedingly well. So one of the things that we wanted to create was a sense of community and as much kind of networking to happen at a virtual event, despite not being everyone being in the room, everyone having lunch together, right? Everyone, you know, having a coffee break together, whatever it is, right? There's these beautiful synergies that happen when you walk, you know, through the halls and you're laughing and, you know, great shoes, nice dress, right? Like there's all sorts of, you know, connections that happen. So how do you do that for a virtual event? And our solution was, let's do breakout rooms. So, you know, you have workout, your workshop things at a table, at an event often, not always. So how can we do breakout rooms so people can workshop things and work together and get to know each other? So our decision was, let's divide people up by day and put them in different groups each day, but the same group for all the workshopping sessions for day one. Same group, different group than day one, but same group all day for day two and the same thing for day three. And so Wendy had to do the organization of that, which is not a small feat, okay? We don't, like, how to not have the same people working with the same people on 3 days. That's not easy. And she had to do that. And then she had to prep it and make sure that people were in and coming back. And there was, you know, we were working some things out with that, but we got that dialed in eventually. So yeah. Thoughts on that, Sarah?
Yeah. So, again, massive props to Wendy, because working with the breakout rooms like that was something she had never done. So she had to learn how to do that. Just the logistics of how it works in that 3.5 weeks that we had. And then not only did she have to learn how to do it, she had like the massive spreadsheets of here's everybody's groups for day one, here's everybody's groups for day two, here's everybody's groups for day three, and trying to make sure that they were all different people. And I think that she pulled it off so elegantly, because like it's not easy. And sometimes people don't show up, or sometimes we had a couple people are like, hey, I'm at work, I can't participate in the breakout room, I'm listening because I'm on call. And she made those shifts so quickly and so efficiently. And I heard so many good things about our breakout rooms. And I have to say, I love the fact that we did those that way, because I'm a little bit of a conference junkie myself. And the number one thing I love about going to those conferences is the connections that you make, you know, with like-minded people. So I'm so happy that not only did we find a solution, but I think we pulled it off really well.
Yeah. And I get some really good feedback from my, you know, many of my clients come to these events as well, and they loved it. So they have, you know, they have access to chatting with me whenever. So they're telling me that was fabulous. So, and they met all new people and made connections, and, you know, that feels really good. So that was Wendy's role. And she did a bunch of tech stuff for us for our marketing initiative prior, which we'll get to in a little bit. Steph on the team, you know, she's in charge of, overarchingly in charge of making sure that the emails that we send out make sense, the dashboard, the slide decks, all of that stuff. So she works with us on content. That's like her overarching rubric, content and branding, both. And she's a magical unicorn as well. I'm so grateful. Like, she freaking success. And it was really important for me, because we were doing it in 3.5 weeks, there's so much on her plate, and it gets really dicey as we get closer to the event, because, you know, best laid plans, things shift. There's so much that has to happen. So we did move a bunch of things off her plate and have great people like Grace helping out with content, emails. And, you know, there's a lot. Like, we send reminder texts, we send reminder emails, and we want those to be on brand. We want those to be, you know, fun and inspiring and like unstoppable. And so I don't pick those gifts that we send out. Okay. Like, I'm not doing that level of detail in my business. Okay. Grace and Steph are doing that, which is fantastic. And I do review everything so that it's like, that doesn't make sense. And we're a team, right? So, yep. So one of the things, this would be a great place to bring it in, is that we've been having a ton of conversations around, you know, diversity, equality, and inclusion, and what is our stance, and how are we shifting things? And, you know, that started, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago. And it's not that that hasn't been something that we haven't considered. It just hasn't been given the due that is required of it. And so we've done a ton of that without overthinking it. Quick decisions. Here's our DEI statement. It's on our website. It's on our contracts. It's on our employment job postings now. And we did that in a heartbeat, right? And then it was, okay, so part of that was, we're going to spend 30% of our expenditures on, you know, organizations that support progressive agendas. In addition, sorry guys, I can't figure out how to turn off my dings. we're both behind the scenes again. Sarah is laughing at me because I'm like, why is it not working? I don't understand, right? It's not actually open on my screen. Why is it making noise? All of this sort of stuff.
Is it your phone? That sounds like your phone.
It's my phone. It's the text messages being on my computer giving me a notification. So, so on your computer, you can get text notifications, but that app is not open. It is not open. So I don't know why it's making the noise that it's making. But clearly, it's user error. Like, I will own that. But sorry, guys. There you go. Anyways, we wanted to make sure that we were spending our money, putting our money where our mouth is, right? And the hiring contractors, hiring team members, channeling wealth to communities of color, and making, whether that be contractors, employees, or companies that have a that are owned by women of color, or have a high percentage of women of color. That's a little bit trickier to figure out, but like making it very intentional. And so as part of that, we were looking at, you know, all of this within our marketing as well, and having conversations about, well, what does inclusion look like here? And, you know, and so, and Steph was very involved in these conversations and in some ways spearheading them, not in all ways, but in some ways spearheading them. And here she did, she put together a bunch of texts with GIFs, and I'm like, they're all white women. What the frickity frick? And it wasn't intentional, right? And that's how we work as a team. And we changed that. And so they weren't all white women, and that's how we iterate, and that's how we share roles and responsibilities. And that's, it's not that that is her role and responsibility, but you're moving at 1,000 miles, and you know, that's why we have multiple people looking at things also. And it's not just, me. I might've missed it on my own if it was only me. And then it becomes a habit. Then you do this once, you see the blind spot that there, and you acknowledge it, you shift it, and then it's no longer a blind spot, and you move forward. So that's her role. She did the beautiful dashboard that we created. So let's talk a little bit about the dashboard, because I think that's
so freaking outstanding. Like, and not only was it outstanding, you know, that was an evolving dashboard. Like, it was different every day. And I absolutely have to appreciate the just calm energy that Steph just emanates, because like, oh my gosh, let's be like, hey, I need you to change this, or hey, I need you to change that, or hey, they can't get this right now. And she's like, okay, check it now. Like, God, I just love her so much. And not only, you know, is it so functional, but it was also so beautiful.
Absolutely. So she's amazing. So the evolution of that, again, we were in another training and we saw their dashboard, and that was brilliant, because I didn't even have in my head having a dashboard or having it work that way, or sending people to the dashboard to then get the access to the Zoom recording, right? Or the Zoom meeting, right? And there were all sorts of things that I did not think about being possible. So having that model was really super important. Now, we also had our own internal, like, well, you could do it better here kind of thing. And what would our brand look like? We wanted something that was more, I don't know. I'm a little Lex. I'm a little like inspiration, more inspirational, more bold in this world. So our brand colors are navy and sparkly gold and a pop of pink. And so it makes it super, super lively. I think that in and of itself is an important branding piece. That's part of it. But I, in looking at that, the other dashboard, I was like, I want this to be more exciting, more fun, like more welcoming. And so the idea of a marquee dropped in for me. And so I said to Steph, can you make the dashboard have like a marquee at the top? That's as far as I got. Like, that's the level of like the vision. I also told her, you know, I think it needs to include all these things, right? The long list of everything that we had on there. But she's got this brilliance of taking that idea and making it actually gorgeous. So I think if you look at the show notes, Sarah and I have talked about, but I don't think we have a URL yet for you, but we're going to put some pictures of sort of behind the scenes setup, the tech setup, and the dashboard, so that you can have at least a little bit of a visual to go along with this, so that you can see what we did. Now, one of the things that the other event did that at first I was really wanting to do, and I thought it was a great idea, and then we nixed it because it turns out none of us actually did it or engaged in it, was gamification. They had like, if you click on this on the dashboard, you'll get this. But I didn't really track. I couldn't remember what I got or why I was doing it. And I didn't see where I was getting the points. And like, there was like these little missing places for me. And I thought, okay, well, if we made the points bigger, like if I click here and it pops up, that would be great. And then I was like, you know what? We have 3.5 weeks. This is a friggin' nice to have. And we did a lot of nice to haves, but this was like, we're cutting this. This is not necessary for us right now. And I actually want people paying attention to the teaching. That's where I want them to go. Now, this other event had sponsors. So they were wanting people to engage with their sponsors and have a reason to engaging with sponsors. So there's a reason for it. And I think it could be made to work really well, but we opted to not have that be part of our dashboard. Thoughts on that, Sarah?
I love that you went through the process of elimination there, like how we came to that conclusion. Because I mean, like on paper, gamification sounds great. Like, yeah, let's make this more fun. It's a virtual event. Like, we were looking for all of the ways that we could make it more fun and more engaging. But then when we talked to each other, you know, did you engage with that? Did you? And all of us said no. And we did talk about like, well, how would we make it a little more interesting? Does confetti pop out when you click? Like, and it's like, that would be great, maybe, but the focus really is what you're teaching. You know, it's 3 days, and you do such a great job of packing so much into 3 days. And that's what people are there for at the end of the day. And definitely, like we said, we had 3 weeks. Like, we did not want to overcomplicate things any more than we needed to for our team.
Correct. Okay. So judgment call on your part. Do I continue talking about roles and responsibilities, or do I go down the dashboard path right now?
Dashboard.
Okay. So let's talk about the dashboard. So we wanted it to be beautiful. We wanted it to be fun. We wanted it to be on brand. The layout is important. We've done so much around getting dialed in about the layout so that it is clear and easy to read, not too busy, but also not too boring, right? That the right information is accessible. So let's talk a little bit about this. So we had places to leave feedback, and that those were testimonials that we were asking people if they were enjoying the event to leave. And we have, we use a company called SpeakPipe. Do I have that right?
Yes.
Okay. And we use them for both the audio and the video testimonials, correct? Yeah.
And there's it's a one-off for AdPipe to do the video testimonials.
Okay. So that gave people an easy access point for doing those. And that was up from the get-go. And we had our MC kind of remind people. I think we probably could have done a slightly better job maybe in chat to remind people, because here's the rub, guys. Like, people are listening to the content. If you're giving good content, and like we said, we're not a fluff company. So if you're giving good content, people are like, they're not going to want to pull away to do a testimonial, but we probably could have done a better job. I could have done a better job of reminding people before breaks, to do a testimonial. Or at the end of the day, doing a testimonial. And we probably
Manning the chat, like, this just dropped in for me. Like, if I see someone who's having incredible aha moments, I could probably hit them privately right before the break and say, hey, you had such a great insight there. It would be awesome if you would run to, here's the link, super convenient, and leave us a review.
Absolutely. That's a great takeaway. Let's put that lesson learned right there. and so this is like, we're iterative about this. So we had the testimonials, we had a hashtag for the event, and that we had right at the top. I think that was someplace also that you and I have talked about, like, we probably could have done a better job of like helping people figure out. Lots of people did the hashtag, but I think we could have had like a daily challenge or like a daily thing that a theme that people could hashtag around. Because the more visibility you have for your events, the more people are going to want to come the next time.
Absolutely.
So I think there's probably more we could have done on that. But again, 3.5 weeks, and we had that front and center on the dashboard. We asked people to do selfies. We, as part of our swag box, we had a great, the Unstoppable Woman hat that people got, and we wanted people to take photos of that. And any thoughts on how that went, Sarah?
We definitely had a few really good photos, with folks in their hats. One person comes to mind in particular. Heather had, her son was wearing the hat, and it was just so freaking cute. I wish we'd had more. And I think that that's another thing for us to evaluate is how we can get a little more engagement with things like that, because they were such outstanding photos, and everybody with their smiling faces and their hats. Awesome.
And it was awesome to see people on the Zoom call with their hats on, right? Like on the virtual training. That was fun. So we had a cute GIF. That's a great tip for people. Like when you're doing virtual, you have to figure out how to keep the energy flowing between you and the presenter and the audience. When you're in the room together, you feel the energy in a different way. People are, they're not distracted by, you know, their kids or the text. Well, maybe they're distracted by text. Everyone, you know, has that going on all the time, but you know, you're a bit more focused and like fully in it. Having a way to engage with people via physically via virtual video is important. So we did a raise the roof kind of like motion, like everyone, like, are you getting this? Raise the roof, right? And we put that GIF on the dashboard, and that's me being silly and kind of letting my hair down so that you guys know that I have a personality, because I do. Even though I'm also very serious, like they're all sides, right? So
balance.
Say that again.
Balance.
Balance. Exactly. We did a VIP ticket, which everyone who did the VIP ticket, I think, loved. We got great feedback on that. That was special. Bonus level, master level teaching after the event. We took a little half an hour break. And then it was also a more intimate, casual kind of experience where people could ask questions and kind of let their hair down a little bit. And so from the dashboard perspective, we had an upgrade to VIP ticket on there. Now, if you upgrade to VIP before the event, you actually get the VIP swag box instead of the regular swag box. But people could upgrade and they got the recording, and there was all sorts of bonuses for that. So that was on there. We had our own testimonials on there for sure, because that's important that people understand what kind of success you're having, regardless of what your business is. You want people to know that it's not a one-off thing, that so many people are having more and more success. And one of the things that I would like to do in the future, I don't know if it's visually possible, but to have rotating testimonials or different testimonials each day, because we've had so much success with our clients, but we only, like, for expediency purposes, we tend to have the same handful up there, and we have so many that we could rotate, and that would be a great thing, especially on virtual. We decided to put the slide decks on the dashboard. And that was, I think we're still working out how to do slide deck and presenter view in a virtual event, because we want people to be able to look at the slides. They augment the teaching. However, we don't want me either not just being this voice or just being a small little person in the corner. Like, there's an intensity that happens when someone is full screen. So I think for next time, we'll probably ask people to download the slide deck and just go along with me versus doing it as much as we did in person. Thoughts on that, Sarah? Anything that you need to add?
Yeah, that's definitely one of those things that we're still working out logistically what the best way to do that next time is. But we all agreed that there needed to be a little more you on the screen and a little less slides. Slides were so beautiful because, of course, Stephanie did them. But, you know, I think especially when it's virtual, it's so important because you don't have the energy of the room and they don't get your energy as well. Like it's there, of course, but you're really not getting it as well when there's a slide up. So we did like the Matthias put you in the corner, which was definitely fantastic for what we were doing this time to have see the slide and see you. But I think that next time we need to figure out a little bit better balance with more of you.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So we had the slide deck. We loaded each slide deck after the session so that, you know, people weren't getting all the teaching in advance and going down a rabbit hole or thinking that they just looking at the slide deck was enough, because it's not. Okay. There's so many layers that get fleshed out as I teach this. So we didn't want people to be distracted. So we did it just one at a time, but we might do it one at a time in the future, session by session, but do it at the beginning of the session instead of at the end. And then we had PDFs on the for the workshop sessions, the breakout sessions. We had those PDFs on the dashboard as well. And again, Steph was adding it session by session, so in real time, so it wasn't confusing. People weren't getting distracted, but we have it all up there. So I think that was a huge value add. And then we did movement breaks, and some people took advantage of that, and some people didn't, which was what we expected. You know, some people really, you know, wanted to go to the bathroom, wanted to check in on their kids, wanted to do a few emails, just wanted alone time. All of that is completely appropriate. But we had the option to do a movement break with two of my clients who are in the fitness world. And we highlighted them on the dashboard as well with their URLs. Wanted to give them some visibility on that. And that may or may not be something we do in the future. I don't know that everyone took advantage of that, but it is something that we put on the schedule as optional, because we wanted to make sure that there was no like fear of missing out or like you couldn't keep up. Like that was an optional aspect. We also put the schedule up on the dashboard, which I thought was really important for people to see. And I know we've mentioned this a bunch, that we kept to that schedule and how important that was. Anything else on the dashboard? I feel like we had stuff on there that I'm forgetting about. Is there anything that I've missed?
I don't think so. I mean, it was such an evolving dashboard. So, I mean, we updated after every session and we updated it when our offers were there. I think you missed that. We had our offers on there once they were available to be purchased through the dashboard.
Correct. We also had a timer, like doors open at such and such a time or teaching starts. And it was a countdown timer. So people could see exactly when we were starting and knew as well. Okay. Let's go back to roles and responsibilities and finishing that out. We've talked about Shema's role on social. I don't think we need to do that more. MC, we hired an MC, and that was good and that was not good. Like there were things that worked really well with that and things that we probably changed. We had it be a half an hour. I don't think that we need a half an hour. Sarah and I, and I think Steph also, we talked about that. Like it just maybe 15 minutes beforehand. We did doors open early because you want people joining early and not joining at the last minute. Otherwise they miss the teaching, right? They're coming 5 minutes, 10 minutes late, and you want to build some energy up beforehand. So that's the idea of doors open a little bit early. And then we hired someone. I had someone in mind that I really wanted to be the MC, and I had a great conversation with her. And of course, this is what happens when it's 3.5 weeks ahead of schedule and not 4 months, which is note to self, have that conversation now. Got to get her on the schedule. Okay. So I had a conversation with her. She really wanted to do it. She looked at her schedule. She realized she was already booked. And she's someone that I've worked with previously. She would have had to come into town. I really wanted that person to be local and in the room and not just in a little Zoom box. How important do you think that was, Sarah, having now done our first big virtual event, to have someone be in person with me versus doing it from the comfort of their own home in Zoom?
You know, I think it was nice to be able to have her there, but I don't think it's necessary. I think it depends on that person's energy. As long as that person has the right energy for us and our women, I don't think it matters if they're on site with you.
Okay, that's good to know. Because she was standing versus sitting, and I don't know like how important that energy is for Zoom. But thank you for that feedback, because that opens up the possibilities. So what else? So we were sort of scrambling at the last minute, and I wanted someone local. And at first I got really like, it's not going to work. I got into limited thinking, and then I brought it to my team because I'm like, what do we do? I don't have to solve all the problems myself. And Steph reminded me, because I've seen these sites before and I completely forgot about them, that there are like DJ MC sites for events. They're usually for weddings or things like that, but they exist. And so I looked on those and reached out to a couple of women. And again, this is where the DEI statement came in, right? That the intentionality behind that. I was specifically looking for women of color in the Charlotte area. And like, why can't I find that? Of course I can find that. Ridiculous to think I couldn't. I reached out to two people. One person wrote me back and then never followed up after that, which was fascinating. And another person didn't write me back. And so I had another like, we're running out of time. What am I going to do? But because I want this, I started, okay, who's in my, and we had conversations like I know so-and-so, but he's a dude. Is it bad to have a dude if your brand is the Unstoppable Woman? And my team was like, yeah, that's not okay. Right. Like, no. And I'm mixed on that, but I went with their judgment call on that. So, but I was like,
we said was not that it was bad, but we felt in that situation where, you know, that energy is trying to come through virtually, especially, but, you know, we wanted it to be a really safe space where women felt like they could open up, where they could talk, where they could say, or, you know, feel however they felt. And we were afraid that a man might block that energy a little bit. Not that it, you know what I mean?
Not that it has to, but it could, right?
Yeah. Right. Yes. Okay.
So, but, you know, I went and talked to the person I know, Eddie, and he's like, oh yeah, my girlfriend would be perfect for that. And I was like, psych, yay, let's talk to her. Oh, she's going to be here in a few minutes. Great. Can I have a conversation? Had a great conversation with her. She wasn't available. Cause of course now it's like 3 or 4 days beforehand, right? We're running out of time here. So it was, again, it was like excitement. But I was like committed to this idea. And so I reached out, I don't know that many people in Charlotte. So I reached out to two other people and I got a great recommendation from one person and had a great conversation with that person. But with COVID, she has a infant. And even though infants aren't terribly at risk, it's like, it doesn't feel okay. And I totally respected that. Like, I get it. You know, she was willing to do it remotely, but coming to the apartment, it was like it was a deal breaker. Totally respect that. But again, I was like back to ground zero. Asked again. So persistence, anyone understands the teaching that I teach, persistence, like you could give up. I could have given up 2 weeks earlier, but I didn't. Right. And so I kept asking and I got the name of Fran who we ended up hiring. And she was able to jump on board last minute, which was fantastic. And she brought it, which was fantastic. And from a lessons learned perspective, you know, that wasn't really enough time for someone to understand our brand and like everything that we're doing with the event so that she knew how to, what kinds of things needed to be talked about in the doors open time. She did great with what she had, but we could have set her up for better success for sure. Thoughts on that?
Exactly that. Like, you know, we, in bringing someone in who's outside of our world, we probably should have had a little more time.
Yeah. Agreed. Let's talk about hair and makeup, and then let's talk about Crescent Events, and that will wrap up, roles and responsibilities. But first I want to say one more thing. I usually do professional videography and professional photography at events. And I didn't hire a professional photographer in advance because I'm like, it's the apartment. It's going to be small. We already have videographers. I had a story in my head. And then I was like, day one, why did I not hire? I'm like, I've got hair and makeup here. I look banging, right? Like now's the time to get your next headshots. And you guys, for marketing, not just headshots, but all the marketing photos, you know, we use them for our podcast. We use them on social. We use them when we update the website in our emails, right? Like it's really important to invest in that. Now, is it the top level investment? No. If, you know, the biggest thing that I did to grow my business was investing in a mentor who helped me get my head straight and my thinking straight. No photography is going to do that for you. Let me just tell you. Okay. But then there are things after that that are really great for your business. And one of them is to have really good pictures of yourself. Okay. And that's something that I do at all events, and I spaced it. I like self-sabotaged around that. And now we're absolutely doing that at virtual. I don't care. And they don't have to be there all day long. They just need to be there for like an hour or two doing a few of the behind the scenes, which Ashley actually handled really well. But the more better professional, like here's Amira teaching, here's Amira like for the branding stuff. Just a couple every day with new outfits and the hair and makeup done. It's super important. And so there's that. We tried to hire someone last minute, but it didn't happen. Just so you know, I was getting my hair and makeup done, texting people. Okay. But that didn't happen. And then you have to let it go. You just have to let it go. Hair and makeup worked with someone previously who's fabulous locally. And so I hired her. So great to have someone on your team who's zero drama. You want zero drama people on your team. Okay. And she was totally flexible. She's totally easy. She did a little bonus outfit consulting. Like, does this jewelry work with this shirt? Right. And she was great. And then she looked at the makeup, like through the camera lens and made sure it was perfect and all of that. And you know, hair and makeup, guys, hair and makeup. Can I say hair and makeup?
You know what you need to talk about? You need to talk about what happened at the end of the first day, and it's 7:30 and you're in bed, and then what happened? And you had to call Sissy.
I'm like, I've come down from the high of being on stage. And Sissy, by the way, let's give a shout out to her business. It's called Hello Gorgeous. If you're in the Charlotte area or in North Carolina, because I know she travels, she is freaking awesome and great to work with. So Hello Gorgeous Sissy is her name. So I can't remember. It's the end of the day. Like my brain is done. And I'm like, she told me something about my hair. Was it wash my hair or don't wash my hair? And I couldn't remember. And I was actually like, I'm ready. I'm going to go to bed at 7:30 and I'm going to wake up super early, review the slides, like do all the things. There's always last minute stuff and I'll be fresh in the morning for that. Like, let's just call it a night. It was a great day. Congrats. Right. I text Sissy and she's like, no, you need to wash your hair tonight. I'm like, no. And she's like, and you need to dry it. Don't go to bed with wet hair. And I'm like, oh.
That's so the worst.
Yeah. Anyways, a little fun behind the scene there, you know? So, you know, I do what the experts tell me to do. Like that's actually a success tip for people. You know, the summit, I was giving success tips to people, doing what the experts tell you to do. And don't like, I'm not going to say to her, well, can we do it tomorrow? No, she knows, like she knows. Okay. So I step up, I get out of bed, take my shower. Okay. Okay, that's a wrap for episode 2. We are going to be going behind the scenes and giving you more tips and strategies on how to plan an awesome virtual summit or event that you might be holding in episode 3. So please join us there. Thank you so much for joining us and for being a part of the Unstoppable Woman movement. I want to let you know that we've got a ton of free resources for you for scaling your business at theunstoppablewoman.com/free stuff. Please go ahead and check those out. And we'd also love your help in getting the message out. Share this podcast with all the unstoppable women in your life, your friends, your colleagues, your business besties. Please do that. And if you're game, we'd super duper duper appreciate a review on iTunes as well. Thanks so much and be unstoppable.